So first of all, I'd like to welcome you all here. My name's Keith. I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about God's strength in our weakness. But before I start, the eagle-eyed amongst you may well have noticed that all of our elders are enjoying a world stuff break at different parts of the country. And it's funny the things that people say when they realise that you stand in the front and you've kind of responsible. And I remember the first time I found myself in charge of a school. And this guy came up to me. I'd been in the school for a few months. And this guy came up to me and said, "So you're in charge today?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can we have a snow day and send all the kids home?" And I said, "Well, I'll give it some thought, but I really don't think so." "Oh, come on, why not? No one will know." "Well, it's the middle of June and it's 20 degrees outside. I don't think we're going to get away with that one." So, but you are more than welcome this morning. Great time of worship. Thank you very much to the guys for leading us. I just want to say thank you to Hannah for bringing that exhortation from the word. Fantastic. Thank you. So, God's strength in our weaknesses. Okay? I'm going to read this morning from the story of Gideon. Okay? I'm going to read quite a bit, so please do bear with me. You can either follow along, I'm reading from the ESV, or just kind of sit back and enjoy the ride. So, Judges 7, not the bit that most people turn to, which is Judges 6, where he's kind of hiding in the thresher, in the wine press. Judges 7. So, it says, "Then Jubal," that is Gideon, "and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, My own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one of whom I say, this one shall not go with you, shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. And let all the others go away, every man to his home.' So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night, the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Pua, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp.' And he went down with Pua, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance. And their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, 'Behold, I dreamed a dream. And behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat.' And his comrade answered, 'This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And then it goes on in verse 17 while speaking to the troops. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. Gideon was a man of Israel who lived sometime around about 1200 BC. He lived in the northeast corner of Israel to the east of the River Jordan. To understand the key parts of the passage, it's important to look at what was happening in Israel at the time. Israel had turned their back on the Lord, and as such, he had allowed the Midianites to attack them. In doing this, God was teaching them to learn to trust and worship him only, and not rely on their own strength or what they perceived to be the strength of the gods the nations around about worshipped. So what can we learn from the passage that we've just read? God's strength in our weakness. Firstly, Gideon had amassed a huge army. And God wanted to teach him about trusting in his strength and not in the size of the force that he had assembled. So there were 32,000 soldiers there, all ready, all lined up to go into battle. And God said, there's too many. There's too many. Otherwise, the Israelites, you know, you'll start to boast and you'll say, it's because of our skill, it's because of our expertise, it's because of the size of our army. And so he whittled it down to 300 men. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm going into battle, I want as many people as possible. But God wanted the nation of Israel to realize that they needed only to rely on him, and not on their own strengths, and not on their own abilities, which will ultimately fail them. So what challenges are we facing in our lives at the moment? As many here will know, I'm about to step into eldership. Now, to be honest, it terrifies me a little bit. It's funny, I perhaps shouldn't say this. People, when it was announced, people would come up to me and say, oh, congratulations. And I think, I'm not sure that's the word I would use. I mean, it's going to be really exciting, but it does terrify me a little bit. You know, it's that responsibility, it's that, you know, what am I going to be doing? And, you know, so, you know. But it's not about me and my strength. I have no strengths and abilities that is going to make me excellent at this. It's down to what God will do through me. And it's not about me, it's about God. In God's strength, my weakness is enough. As we look around the world around us, we see lots of instability. What with Europe and Brexit and all the stuff going on there. We've got ISIS, terrorist acts, not just in the Middle East, but in Europe as well. I don't know whether you remember, over the summer, there seemed to be a period of a few weeks where there was almost something happening every few days. We've got the uncertainty in America as the presidential elections loom. There's financial insecurity. As a world, there is lots and lots of insecurity out there. For many, all of these could be reason to fear. What's going to happen? is my job secure? Is my pension pot secure? You know, there's insecurity out there. And for many, this could be cause to fear. But we don't need to fear the future and what may happen around us. Because in God's strength, our weakness is enough. And in our weakness, God's strength is enough. You may be facing a challenge at work. Or you may even be out of work and worried about how you'll make ends meet. And as many of you know, that was mine and Sally's experience. But in our weakness, God's strength was enough. And God's strength is enough. The Alpha course from the video. The Alpha course will be starting soon. For many, the thought of inviting friends to this might fill them with a bit of fear. What happens if they say no? What happens if they never speak to me again because I've invited them to Alpha? What happens if I lose them as friends? And you know the thought, the kind of irrational thoughts that go through the mind. We could end up quite easily, I won't ask. Yeah, I won't ask. But no, in our weakness, God's strength is enough. So do not fear. Go for it. Yeah, they might say no. Okay, fair enough. They said no. But they might say yes and then come along and then meet the Lord and then move from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and spend eternity with Jesus. What a thrill that would be. Yeah? In our weakness, God's strength is enough. Now, the Alpha course, as was mentioned last week and as is on the leaflets, the Alpha course starts on the 16th of October. And this is where I get my little plug-in for Alpha. Have a think. Have a pray. Consider who it is that you might invite. And look at the different opportunities. So you might be talking to your neighbour this afternoon and they say, I noticed you out this morning. Yeah, I went to church. Actually, we've got an Alpha course on. Do you want to come? You know, take the opportunities. Invite people along. Okay? As has been on the advertising, since we started advertising it, Alpha course. Who are you going to bring? Let's see if we can all bring someone along. Because you might find that they come along, they hear the word of God, they get saved, and they spend eternity with Jesus. As a different event, many of you will have seen the notice. Michael Porter is off to India in a few weeks' time. And we've got a Kaylee coming up, which Rachel, where are you, Rachel? Excuse me, I can't see you. Which Rachel has got information about. And that's on the 8th of October. Now, for Michael, going off, spending part of his gap year in India for 6 months, might be a cause for a bit of fear. What's going to happen? First time that length of away from home. What's going to happen? What will I do? What will I find when I'm out there? You know, will I be all right? And all those questions may well be going through his mind. And I'm sure the same will be true for his parents. What's going to be happening? What's he going to do? Is he going to be all right? But in our weakness, God's strength is enough. So Michael can go out to India and he can go out there knowing that in his weakness, God's strength is enough to overcome whatever he may face. And Stuart and Rachel, when they're looking and they're thinking about him, putting him on the plane on that first journey out, they can sit there and they can be assured that God's strength in Michael's weakness is enough. That God's strength in their weakness is enough. And that any obstacle they may face, any obstacle that he may face, God is with him, and God's strength is enough. But if you want to find out more about what he's doing, go and see Rachel. And let's see if we can fill this place on the night of the 8th of October for the Kaylee, which will raise a bit of money for him to go out and also raise a bit of money for the works that are out there. But see Rachel afterwards. Okay? In our weakness, God's strength is enough. Now, let's go back to the story, the passage that I read. We need to follow the instructions that God gives us. God told Gideon to thin the troops by telling them that they could go if they wished. Now, Gideon may well have thought when he heard that from God, but they might all go. but he did it anyway. God then told him to watch how the army drank and separate them that way. Now again, to the logical mind, to the earthly mind, you might have said, right, well, we're going to do a quick tryout with a sword and we'll see who's the best and we'll take those ones. Or we might have a few races, the one that's the quickest, or, bearing in mind they're going to have to shout, the one with the loudest voice, we'll keep them and we'll send the others home. No, I want to see how you drink, and we'll pick you that way. And it's like, what? But that was what God told him to do, and he did it. He followed God's instructions. In the challenges that we are facing, what is God telling us to do? And are we following those instructions from the Lord to the letter? Or are we altering them because they might seem silly? So for us to see victory in the challenges that we face, and like I say, many of us, all of us are facing challenges. But for us to see the victory, we need to trust in God's strength in our weakness. But we also need to listen to his voice and follow his instructions, even if they might seem a little bit unusual. What else do we see from the story? God is gracious and gives us courage in our weakness. Now, for those that know the story of Gideon, Gideon had a tendency to fear. So in the passage before, the chapter before, we see that he's afraid to be seen threshing the corn. So he does it in the wine press. Now, God was aware of that tendency. And he allowed Gideon the opportunity to go down to the camp and take courage from what the enemy was saying. Now, just think about it. You know, it describes the Midianites and the Amalekites as locusts and sand on the seashore. What was the likelihood that Gideon and Pua, his mate, would happen to arrive at just the right point, at just the right time, that this Midianite would share his dream with his mate? God created that opportunity. God took Gideon, knowing that he had a tendency to fear, but God took him anyway, down into the Midianite camp, so he could hear what they were saying, take courage from it, and then go to battle. So what about us? When we fear, well, God does the same thing with us. It's just it's written down. Yeah? We may hear someone saying, oh, you know, keeps going to overcome that particular challenge, like Gideon heard. But all of God's promises are in here. Yeah? If you are facing challenges at the moment, and you want to have an encouragement in that challenge in the same way that Gideon did, it's in here. Okay? I was thinking the other day, you know, with regard to the Bible, you know, if you read into when the Temple of Solomon was first kind of dedicated, the Lord filled the temple with smoke, peals of thunder and lightning, and it says all the people fell down and worshipped. Well, you know, God turned up at that point and filled the temple, and he spoke. Or when people came out of Egypt and the Exodus, God met them on the mountain and they were all afraid, you know, because they heard the voice of God. Well, how do we hear the voice of God? Well, one of the ways is here. So, you know, this Bible, this word, it's the living word of God. It's the living word of God. And we can trust the promises in here just as much as Gideon trusted what he heard from the Midianite. Gideon worshipped. It said he heard what the Midianites were saying, took courage from it, and worshipped. Now, I don't know whether you're like me, but I have to say, when I'm facing challenges, you know, worship perhaps slips a little bit. Now, my prayer life, that's very different. My prayer life is fantastic when I'm facing challenges. But worship, well, sometimes, you know, that's the thing that slips. But Gideon worships. At that point, he hadn't actually gone to war yet. He hadn't actually, in the natural, he hadn't won the victory at that point. He knew it was going to be won because of the promise that he had heard, because of the word from the Midianite. But he hadn't actually won it at that point. But he worshipped God anyway for the victory that was to come. And so it is with us. When we are facing challenges, when we are facing difficulties in our lives, yes, we pray, but yes, we should worship. We should worship in the challenge. If we are unwell, worship in that. If we are facing challenges at work, worship in that. If we're facing challenges in our families, in our home lives, worship in that. Gideon worshipped before the victory was seen. So in our challenges, let's worship God. Let's worship for the victory that will be seen. So, for us to see the victory, we need to trust God's strength in our weakness. We need to follow his instructions. We need to believe in the promises that he has given us. And we need to worship him in the challenge that we face. What came next? Well, Gideon said, "Follow me and do exactly as I do." Gideon still had to take the army to the battle. It might have been a small army, but he still had to take them into battle. It wasn't enough just to say, right, well, I've followed all the instructions. I've been down to the camp. I've heard that we're going to win. Right, let's all go home. He still had to do that battle. He still had to step out. They went down during the night very stealthily. And then instead of attacking quietly with their sword in their hand, because if you remember, in the left hand they had the jar and the candle, and in the right hand they had the trumpet, so the sword was attached to them. Yeah? Instead of going down quietly, and instead of then just kind of going into the camp with a sword blazing, they had to do two things that were going to really draw attention to the fact they were there. They had to shout and blow the trumpet, and they had to smash the jars and shine the light. Which kind of gives away the fact that they're there. Kind of gives away the fact of how many people are there as well. Yeah? Because if there was like locusts on, if they were like locusts on and sand on the seashore as well, then the Midianites, the Amalekites would have looked out and thought, wow, the sound from there all the way to there. There's lights from there all the way to there. Well, no, there were only 300. So they kind of did things which were a little bit, you know, perhaps odd. But they did it anyway. They went down to battle. They followed God's instructions. And what happened? Well, the Midianites turned on each other. God won the victory. God won the victory. He planted in the Midianites the fact that they were under attack and that they were going to get beaten. And so what did they do? They turned on each other and fled. God won the victory. So in the challenges that we face, we still need to do something. Yeah? If, like I was a few years ago, if you're out of work, you still need to apply for things. You still need to go out and find out what jobs are out there. But in God, the victory is won. So Gideon had to go down. He had to take the army. And he had to go forth and do it. If we don't act, then you might find that actually the victory is sitting there waiting. But it's in that final action that the victory is won. Because God brings it about in our faith as we put it into action. As James says, faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. It's all very well just believing that God's going to give us the victory. But we have to go and claim it. And that's what Gideon did at that point. He went and claimed the victory that was his. So, for us to see the victory, that we need to trust in God's strength in our weakness. We need to follow his instructions. We need to believe in the promises that he gives us. We need to worship him, and we need to act. If we do all these things, we will see the victory that God has promised. Finally, and following all this, God did win the victory for the Midianites, for the Israelites over the Midianites. Gideon did all of this. He took the 300 men to the camp. He raised a shout, and the Midianite army fled before him. So what can we learn from the passage? If you are facing challenges at the moment, or when you face challenges in the future, remember that when we are weak, God, in his strength, will lead us to victory. The victory is his and his alone. We have to act, following the Lord's instructions, even if those instructions might seem contrary to what we, with our human wisdom, might do. We should worship the Lord and believe the promises that he has given us in the Bible, both within the challenge as much as once the challenge has been won. And if we do all of this, we will live in victory. If we do all this, we will still have more challenges, but we will live in victory. And that's why we can sing, as we did earlier on, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Because we don't need to fear. We just trust in God. So if the band could come back up. I've been quicker than I thought I was going to be. You got a bit of bonus time on the coffee. If the band could come back up, they're going to lead us in a final song of praise to God. After which, feel free to go, grab a coffee. If you are in a position at the moment where you are struggling with something, then can I encourage you to trust God's strength in your weakness?